Visiting with us. This is a series that we've been coming through now entitled A Journey in the Psalms. A Journey in the Psalms. And we are coming to a conclusion here in this series. And several of you have seen on Facebook kind of the advertisements of this next sermon series that we're going to be in, looking at some heroes of the faith, some of those men and women who have gone before us in the Word of God and gleaning on their life. We're going to jump into the life of Moses here this fall, and I'm looking forward to preaching those on Sunday morning, and today we're going to find ourselves here in Psalm chapter number 42. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter and number 42. In just a moment, we're going to dive into this passage of Scripture, and it's really one that's quite familiar to us. It's an amazing passage of Scripture, but I do want to just pause for just a moment and remind you this evening, tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and this is always an incredible time for the church family to come together, and I just want to ask our families, maybe those of you who are single, our teenagers, our grandparents that are here, parents. I know Sunday afternoons, we have this long break in between when we let out and then when we come back. And sometimes we can get busy throughout the afternoon. Many of you take that Sunday noon afternoon nap. Hey, okay, I was waiting for it. Is that you, Roberto? Thank you so much, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was thinking, Roberto, it can't only be you and I that take afternoon naps. Somebody else is like, no, I'm very busy on Sunday afternoons. You big liars. You know we all take Sunday afternoon naps. Nonetheless, whatever you have going on today, I want to ask you just to take a couple of moments and just dive into the Word of God just a little bit. Maybe jump in and read a passage of Scripture. Take some time, talk to God this afternoon, maybe with your family, just for a moment. For those kids who have been saved, the teenagers who have been saved recently, just kind of explain what is taking place and what's going on. It's a very serious time in the church. I love when we are able to partake in the Lord's Supper. It's just really a cleansing that takes place in the church. It's a remembrance of what God has done for you and I, and it's a very special time. And so this evening at 6 o'clock, we'll meet back here, but this afternoon, maybe take a couple of moments just personally and just talk to the Lord for a little bit. Let's start preparing our hearts to remember what He did for you and I on Calvary. Psalm chapter number 42, would you please follow along as I read in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 42, look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says this: As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, watch the last four words, where is thy God? The next couple of moments, I'd like to preach a message entitled, The Seasons of Life. The Seasons of Life. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I love the song that was just sung. Because, Lord, it reminds us that, are we trusting You? Lord, we have put a lot of trust in the last year and a half in a lot of people. Lord, we have struggled as a nation to really find truth in what's going on and what's taking place. Whether it be in illness or whether it be in politics, there's many that's searching. But Lord, we know truth. We have truth. But do we trust it? Father, I am thankful that no matter what's taking place, You are still on the throne and You're still in control. And I ask, Father, that as we approach this passage of Scripture, that we would trust You, Lord, to understand and comprehend that it's going to be okay, that we can still seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things are going to be added to us as Christians. Father, as we approach this passage of Scripture, I ask, Lord, that You give me the strength to preach it. But Lord, I ask that Your Word, once again, would be our final authority. That You would allow us to rightly divide the Word of truth. And although this was written many, many thousands of years ago, Lord, help us to see the application for us living in this culture, this society in 2021. We love You, Father. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I grew up most of my life in the South. I was born in Tennessee and grew up at the beginning, early stages of my life in Alabama. And then through my teen, preteen, and teen years, I spent it in North Carolina, the Charlotte area of North Carolina. When I went to Bible college, I met this girl, and she was in several of my study groups. At that time, her name was Carrie Clayton. I fell head over heels for what is now the love of my life, my wife, and we're raising five kids together, but she is truly my very best friend, Carrie Clayton. I married her. I paid her off, but nonetheless, she married me, and they live happily ever after, and I love my wife. And my wife didn't grow up in the South. She grew up her entire life. She was born in Michigan, but she grew up just about her entire life in Ohio. And I'll never forget, after we got married, we pastored I pastored in West Virginia. She just wrote my sermons, but I pastored in West Virginia for 10 years, and we made a life for each other there, and we loved it, and then we spent 3 years in Los Angeles County, California, from 2018 to 2020, and Carrie Hewitt, she's over here in the overflow this morning, and Carrie would admit this, you'd have to say that since we have known each other for 16 years and been married for 15 of those years, she has always said, you would love the seasons in the Midwest. You just love it. She's always bragging about, oh, there's the four seasons of Ohio and this Midwest corner. She grew up about 2 hours from here. You have no idea. And I would say, honey, we had seasons in the South. Like, everybody has seasons, okay? No, it's not the seasons like up in Indiana and Ohio and Michigan. And she's shaking her head. She knows. We laugh about it because now I never thought we would, but we live here and we're getting to experience the four seasons, honey. And we love the seasons. We really do. And life physically does have a lot of seasons. And we're heading into a season right now that for many of you, it is your favorite season, the fall season. Or for you, the proper ones, the autumn season. Okay. But nonetheless, this autumn fall season, how many say it is definitely my favorite season? Would you raise your hand? Just be honest. Wow, a lot of you, most of you, this is a lot. It's your favorite season. It's a season when the leaves turn colors and it's yellow and red, and it's beautiful, and then they begin to fall, and we all complain about it, but we love the leaves begin to change, and we love when the weather starts to cool down. Isn't it fun? It was funny, last week, we dipped a little bit. It was still like 90 during the day, but it dipped a little bit at night. Everybody's got out their sweatshirts and sweatpants, and like it's, you know, 30 degrees outside. No, it hit 75, but nonetheless, we're excited for that cool weather to come, and I don't know if you've noticed lately, but I've really noticed the pumpkin spice smells. I mean, I don't think when I was growing up it was a big deal, but now it's like a massive deal to all the ladies that are out here. You buy the candles. Now you can go to your favorite coffee shop and they got pumpkin spice. This is no joke, okay? As God is my witness, this is for real. I saw the other day scratch and sniff paper that had the pumpkin spice smell. That's ridiculous and very stupid. Some of you are like, I'm going to put my sermon notes away right now. I thought you weirdos always out there smelling. I thought y'all was just preaching really good. Oh, no. You're smelling your pumpkin spice, that flavor, that smell. And we do. We love it. We love the bonfires. I personally like this season because it's football season. You know, I like that. And we like this season. But there's a lot of seasons. Some of you like spring and summer. And winter seems to really separate the men from the boys, if you know what I'm talking about. It's cold and a lot of snow. But there's seasons that we have, but you know, also there are also seasons in life. There are seasons that we go through where everything seems great and wonderful. It's living kind of that natural Christian life of drawing close to God, and it's easy to be in the Word of God, and devotions are going well, and we love that season of life where we feel like we're growing, and we love that season of life where it feels like our kids, our grandkids are growing in the Lord, and they have a heart for Jesus, and man, things are just going very good. We love to sing the hymns like we sang this morning, and our hearts are in tune with God, and it just feels like, you know, our job's going well, and our health is good, and we've been exercising, and we've walked a little bit further than we've ever walked, or ran a little bit further, or lifted a little bit more than we've ever lifted. And nonetheless, we have those moments in life where it just feels like, man, it's great. I mean, I feel like I'm living in Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory every day. I mean, it's just great and wonderful. And yet, listen very carefully, watch. There are those seasons of life that aren't that great. There's those seasons of life that we get down kind of in a negative spirit. We have those seasons of life where we are struggling. I believe that everyone in this room has gone through a season where they felt like it's hard to get up. It's hard to go on. The hurt, the pain, the job, the bill, the health, the parents, the grandparents, the coronavirus, the politics. The struggles of life begin to, at times, really get us. You know, Christian, sometimes God takes our life for some crazy twists and turns. Even at Cross Point Baptist, I said this morning, I praise the Lord for souls that are being saved. And man, we're coming out and looking at launching a new discipleship program here and taking all these teenagers and these who have been saved recently and beginning to invest and mentor and disciple them in a biblical model here at the local church. But those things are great, and we love that. And we love the girls getting baptized this past week, and we love the what God is doing with families. The eight or so families that the July and August joining the church. And we talk about those things. It's great, but you know, also we've been in a very tough season. You know, right now, most of the Yiter family are not here. Bearing a 40-year-old son, I've never done anything like that, and it's got to be astronomically heavy on the Yiter family right now. I praise the Lord for Mindy, who is sitting here this morning with her kids, and I praise the Lord, but you know, it's a difficult thing to put your husband in the ground, 44 years of age. You know, I still think about those who, over this past summer, really came through difficult seasons. Lost a grandchild, sick, out of church. Grandchildren that are away from God and children that are away from God. There's those heavy seasons of life that really aren't click your heels and you love it. It's tough. It moves us to mourn. This is the season that this psalmist is in. In verse number one, in fact, he puts it like this. It's strong wording here. Look at verse number one. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse number three, my tears, listen to it. My tears, a cry of mourning. My tears have been my meat day and not only a day, but also at night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The emotions here are strong. This is a time in the psalmist's life. He's up at night. His tears, they flow. He's down, as we would say, in the dumps of despair. There is something that he feels like he cannot handle. He feels even as though, as strong as this is, but now he feels like his enemies are getting the best of him. In fact, look with me at verse number 9 here at this same passage. It says this, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where's thy God? Where's the God you serve? Where's the God that's supposed to have you? That's supposed to be carrying you? God, I feel like this time, Satan's getting the best. My enemies are getting the best of me. And God, I'll just be honest. Here's what they're saying. They're mocking me and saying, where is the God that you serve? Hey, have you ever been there? Have you been through a tough time where you feel like, man, just nothing's going right? Maybe not blaming God, but you begin to ask, Lord, where are you? Lord, why is our enemies overcoming us? It's not being mean to God. It's not calling him out, but maybe we just ask him. Maybe we just question him, Lord, what is taking place in the midst of this hard season? I just want to remind us today, friend, that although Crosspoint has gone through some tough trials here lately, and we continue to, it's not to say that, man, well, what are we going to do? It's not to say that maybe we have a question, God, what is taking place and what is going on? You add just not even a cross point, but you begin to add on then the absolute confusion of the coronavirus and what's taking place and the arguments that happen. And then you look at politics, and my goodness, I mean, we could preach on politics for the next 6 months and what's taking place and the absolute hatred for God and the hatred for all things Jesus and the agendas that are going forth that I've been preaching on Sunday nights against our kids. And the agendas that all of these God haters have, and we begin to look, and all of a sudden our world is starting to become very small. We feel like our world is just closing in on us, and we feel like, man, where are the Christians, and where is God's mercy, and where is His grace, and what is happening, and why is God allowing this to happen? Listen very carefully, friend. We comprehend that there are seasons in nature, and we know that God has designed it that way. And friend, understand and comprehend that just as nature has seasons, you and I also are going to have seasons of life, that we are going to have the mountaintop, we're going to have the good times, it's going to go great. But friend, let me just put it this way. If you got saved and somebody told you, look, give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be good and great, rainbows and butterflies for the rest of your life, and you're never going to have trials, and you're never going to have struggles, and you're never going to have pain. Listen, friend, that person lying to you, they did not get it from the Word of God. It's contrary to what God teaches us. Friend, you and I are going to face some hard times. But let me encourage you. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm going to be right with you during that season. If you find yourself or somebody that you love in one of those seasons, there are several things that the psalmist leaves here for us that will help us overcome, get through that storm of life. The first thing that we must do, as the psalmist leaves for us here, number one, is rely on friends. Number one, rely on friends. Look at Psalm chapter 42. Look at verse number 4. Look what the Bible says. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Now watch very carefully. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. There ought to be a multitude in our lives that are there for us. If you're going through a hard time, there's nothing like friends and family and those Christians that will lift you up. When down and out, don't go through this life and alone in a dark place. Don't take a break from the ones that you love. I've said it so often that it's amazing as somebody goes through a tough time and maybe they begin to get very tired spiritually. They begin to go through a tough time in their life. And friend, if you got to take a break from work, then do it. If you got to take a break from maybe a hobby, then go ahead and do that. But friend, don't take a break from your friends and your family. Don't take a break from church. Don't take a break from God. That's the people that you need to be around. When going through a dark season, don't go into a dark room and shut the blinds and just sit there and in darkness and in negativity and, oh, woe is me. No, friend, there ought to be a person in your life that is there, a person that lifts you up, a person that encourages you, a person that's going to get you through those tough times. Listen, friend, none of us are above going through tough times. We all face it. We all go through it. And during those dark times, you and I ought to have friends that are there that encourage us. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. We ought to have it. We ought to have somebody. I've said it before. Brother George, you shaved, didn't you? Can I just say that? Did you have a beard before? Like you look good, brother. I like it. Amen. I was going to use you as illustration. I'm like, there's something different about you. George, come up here for just a second, if you don't mind. And everybody gets to look at this baby face of his beard's gone, okay? Looks so sharp. Looks so good. I'm just going to use George. I don't want anybody to find offense to this. And, well, I didn't use me. I just picked George out because I couldn't figure out what was different on his face. And now I got it. It looks good. Everybody needs a George in their life. Everybody. Now, a lot of you amen. I didn't even expect that. So you already know what I'm going to say. George happens to have a gift of encouragement. He's an encourager. I mean, look, everything can be going bad in your life and you just feel like calling quits and done. And you get around this man and his wife for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm just telling you, you want to take on hell with a squirt gun because you just feel like, I can do anything, anything. That's George.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody needs to have an encourager like this in your life. Why? Because George lifts you up. George helps you. I've said it before. George, give me a hug. Now, look, George doesn't hug you. Oh, my lands, brother. George does not hug you. I had COVID, but I'm telling you, he's worse than COVID. He will take everything out of your lungs. It's gone. Every time I hug him, I'm like, hey, George, I've even tried to do this. Like, maybe we'll hug as tight. No, man, my feet are dangling, you know. Like, come on, let go, George. You know, he's just, it's who he is. It's you want a bear hug? Just get around this man. He's an encourager. George, let me just be super square with you. I rely on men like you. I need men like you. Now, everything in a pastor's life, hunky-dory and great, and everybody just loves the colors that we picked out for the new paint. It's just great. The parking lot. No, I mean, look, we have complaints, and not everything's good and great and wonderful, and Satan's attacking our families, and we're doing a lot of counseling right now. And just let me tell you, there are moments in my life even when I'm thinking, Lord, either you or just Satan is so attacking that you're ready to come back, or God, how are we as families going to continue on? And all of a sudden, I get around a man like this. And a man like this just is an encourager, and he's a lifter up, and he's a helper, and he gives you scripture, and he gives you maybe even just that physical hug that you need. Listen, in the day and age we live, everybody's finding every excuse that they can to be out of church. We'll make it in shopping. We'll go to work. We'll go to vacation. We'll spend time at the beach. We'll go to the concert. We'll go to the ball game. But isn't it amazing that one little thing comes up and, well, just can't make it to church, just doesn't seem to be fit our schedule right now. Friend, we are here for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I will say this, when you're going through a tough time, the very place that you need to be is not on a ball field, it's not watching a kid kick a soccer ball, it is not at your concert, it's not sitting in front of a TV. Friend, it's in a place where you can get around a George in your life.
Amen.
Rely on friends. Now, look, George, we can talk about it, but here's what we do. You ready for this? Here's what we do. You know, pastor's right, but I don't have any friends like that. Yeah, that's right. You know, I wish, Pastor Chris, you would talk to me more. I wish you would. I wish you'd get, I'm using Pastor Chris because we worked together. Pastor Chris, I hope Pastor Chris is hearing this morning because he's not a George in my life, and maybe I'll even go up to him afterwards or write him an anonymous letter. Remember those? Dun-dun-dun, we all do. I'll write him an anonymous letter. Pastor Chris, saw you sitting up on the third row with your family. Hope you got that message that Pastor was at because you've never hugged me that way. And here's what we do. All of a sudden, we take relying on friends and we turn around and don't we put on ourselves? Well, I don't have him like that. Pastor's so lucky. Oh, I wish I was a pastor and had men like that that would hug me and lift me up. No, friend, look, he who hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I can't always just rely on Pastor Chris and George to lift me up. I ought to be the type of friend that's not judgmental toward, well, Pastor Chris. No, you know what I ought to be? I ought to be the George that's rubbed off on me. And I ought to be the person that, you know what, Pastor Chris? Maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe you're going through a dark time. Maybe times aren't right. Maybe I need to be the George and encourage you and give you that bear hug and help you through a dark time. Listen, friend, here's what I'm saying is this. We all need a George in our life, but I'm going to put it this way, and George is going to tell me. I know he's going to say, Pastor, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't have said that. You know, I'll apologize later, brother, but I'm just telling you, George is the perfect illustration that you and I ought to be a George to other people around us because we don't know what other people are going through in their lives. We don't know what their prayer life is like. We don't know what they're struggling with in their health, or we don't know how their marriages are going, and we don't know what they're going through in raising kids and grandkids in a dark world that you and I live in. Friend, I'm putting it this way today, and I'm just going to keep saying it. All of us ought to have friends like this, but we also ought to be friends like this.
Amen.
We ought to be
Amen.
It. Amen. In the day and age that we live, you and I, thank you so much, Brother George. Hey, let's give him a big hand. George, you really are. I do love you, and I appreciate you. And the baby face looks good, brother. But real men grow beards, I'm just saying, nonetheless. Encouraging. The Bible says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Relying on friends is having friends in our life that we uplift each other, encourage each other. Having friends in our life, Brother Jim, is exhortation to be where we know we need to be. Not for a checklist, but because we need each other in the day and age that we live. Friend, I'm going to put it this way. Now, this sermon really does. For those of you who are visiting with us, I see Noel here and a couple others, Aaron and your wife, your family, you're here today, and we praise the Lord. I promise you, this has a really good ending, so hold on and don't get all depressed. The end is like a Hallmark movie. It's just going to, you know it's going to end good, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to get there, but nonetheless, exhortation ought to be you and I exhorting each other in a time where we know that families and individuals and Christians are constantly being attacked. Lifting each other up is exhorting each other, not bragging, not forceful, but we truly desire to be there for each other. I'm afraid the world that we live in, for some reason, it's in our nature that we hear something like this, and we automatically, listen now, whoa, 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 we automatically jump to a conclusion. Yeah, hey, there's a lot of people in here, they need to hear this because they're not very nice. That's not the message at all. The message is this, that this psalmist went through some very difficult times, and he said, look, and when I remember, I poured out my soul, for I'd gone in with the multitude. Look, we went in with the voice of praise, a multitude that kept the holy day. He is with a multitude that is not discouraging and not negative and not down. No, he's with the multitude that went in to praise God, that went in to worship God. Friend, the friends that we have in our life ought to be those friends that are positive and encouraging, and they lift us up, and they're going to be there for us. But you and I also got to remember, we have to be those same friends in that category. But this verse in Hebrews, what I love about it is it's provoking, it's exhorting, it's you and I with each other, not that accountability. Why weren't you in Sunday school? Where were you? Ran a little late. Well, that's totally ungodly, and next week, try a little harder. No, it's exhorting each other that, you know what, you may have missed something in Brother Mancroni's class today, and I'm just telling you, I hope you could be here next week because it is incredible. Boy, I'm telling you, Brother Harvey preached on the family, and you need to be there, and it is uplifting and it's helpful. And man, I know you don't go to Sunday nights, but really, friend, I'm gonna encourage you. In the day and age we live, we don't need less church, we need more church. We don't need less God, we need more God. We don't need less prayer, we need more prayer. Well, we don't need to follow everybody else and just, well, let's get together for a little 30 minutes. We'll get out of here. No, we ought to be in church every time the door is open. Why? Well, somebody said, well, it's three to thrive. And it says that, look, you can come up with every little cool little cliche you want to, but I'm just going to put it this way. When the Word of God is open, it's what's going to help guide and give us hope and protection and encouragement. And if the Word of God's being open, friend, you and I ought to encourage each other. Let's get under the preaching of the Word of God. Now watch. It's relying on friends, but secondly, this point goes right into it. It's reaping the benefits of meeting with God. Look at verse number 4, look what it says. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. You see, for you and I, it's a little bit different. You and I, living in this dispensational period, we have the local church. The local church is where you and I come and we see the power of God. The local church is a gift to you and I. As we saw last month, at the beginning of August, preached for two old messages on the local church. And I said it then, I'm just going to say it now, that in a generation, in a day and age, when people make very little of the local church, I want to make much of it. Why? Because the local church is where you and I come and we hear about God and we draw closer to Him and we learn of His joy and His peace and His happiness and His contentment that you and I, we can search forever to try to find, but we can come in here and we can learn that Jesus has already given it to us. You can, and I can learn that He's there for us. You see, you and I reap the benefit of joy. Look at this verse. It says, with the voice of joy. Psalm chapter 51 says, restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with the free spirit. When we come to church, we are given joy that only Christ can bring. You and I see the joy of somebody being saved. And this past Sunday night I said it. And friend, listen, it's just as true today as it was a week ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. You want joy in your life? How many want joy? Say amen. If you can't say amen, something's wrong. We all want joy. Nobody's like, no, my whole goal in life is to be unhappy. We're like, yeah, we can tell, you know what I mean? We all want joy in our life. We desire it, joy. You want joy in your life? Lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to Him. Call out to God. There's something about it. It's the joy of this past week, Jeff and Stacy, your little girls, getting baptized up here. There's something joyous about a kid getting saved. Isn't it amazing? Just help me out. Amen. Don't you love that? The joy of coming in and singing praises to God. Something about just reaping the benefits of coming in. And yet we don't have to talk about politics. We have to talk about what stores you like to shop in, what stores I like to shop in, or your coffee versus my coffee, or your football team versus my football team. I love that we can come in and we get to reap the joy that God gives to you and I. You know, some of the most miserable people I know are those that are searching for happiness. They're miserable. You give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and watch the joy that He bestows upon you and I each and every day. But look at verse number 4 and look what it says here. It also says this. It says, where I remember the things I pour out my soul in me, for I'd gone in the multitude, I went with them. Now watch this. In the house of God with a voice of joy. And watch this. And praise. Praise. You know, I know it's Sunday morning, and I'm just going to change it up a little bit. That's okay. We can do this every once in a while. But you know, I think sometimes we really do concentrate on the negative a whole lot. We really do. Well, did you hear about this? Last Sunday night, if you haven't listened to last Sunday night's message, man, we talked for, I think I preached for about an hour, and just on the family and the tax of the family, from YouTube to public school to Prime to Hulu and all the TV shows that are coming out with the LGBTQ+ and infiltrating everything, entertainment that's feeding our kids. And man, it was really dark. We talked about it for a long time. Then we can talk about. And we could get down, and I know we've been in a season of death, and we've been in a season of tough trials, and a season of just a lot taking place. But you know, every once in a while, I think we really just ought to stop and just concentrate on praising the Lord. Just praising Him. Let me ask you this morning one thing that you could just praise God about. Pastor Chris, what would it be? Just one thing in your life that you could just say, I praise God for His love. It's good. Brother George, one thing you praise God for? Amen. Knees are hurting him, but he's able to be at the welcome desk. Praise the Lord for that. How about a teenager? Yes, ma'am. Your family, good. For friends, amen. Brother Mike. Amen. The ability to worship God with his trumpet. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, ma'am. You know I was coming for you. Why are you looking over there? Rita ain't got nothing for you. Still able to come to church. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Let's go over here. Brother Hughes. Your family. Amen. Mrs. Hughes. God's faithfulness. Amen. Debbie. Amen. Amen. God's mercy and peace. Amen. Lost her husband just now about 2 months ago. And man, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. Brother Rogers, something to praise the Lord for. Your health. Amen. Brother Hildebrand. Salvation. Amen. Mrs. Titus. Long suffering. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have one? Raise your hand. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. The joy of the Lord. Wilma. Amen. Friendship that we have at church. It's good. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Amen. This church. What a church we have. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for you, Mrs. Defoe. Good. Somebody else. Somebody else. Denny. Church family. Amen. I thought you were raising your hand. How about in the overflow? Oh, y'all thought you were getting away with it. I don't even think so. Brother Eric in the back. The Bible. Amen. Carrie. God's promises. The love of Jesus. Amen. Carrie, what else? Yeah. Thankful for her husband. Steve. Yes, amen. Amen. Friend, let me put it this way. Going through a tough time, reap the benefits of being in God's house. We get to, in a free nation, lift our voice and sing every hymn that we sang today. I'm thankful for the men and women that every night here in the Indianapolis area are in a police car. I'm thankful for them. Praise the Lord for you. I'm thankful for those first responders. I thank the Lord for our nurses that are right here. Man, I just praise the Lord for a congregation that we, Carrie and I, have had just the time of our lives over the last 9 months. I praise the Lord He brought our family to Indianapolis. I look forward, if He tarries, for the next 100 years serving here with you. You tried to get rid of me and it didn't work. I just praise the Lord for a congregation that each and every week will meet and open up this Bible and learn more about our Abba Father. Going through a tough time? Why don't we stop and just praise Him? You start thinking about, Pastor Chris, I'm not sure the name of that hymn, but I think it's called Count Your Blessings. Is that correct? Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. I love that song because, honestly, every time I sing it, it's so true. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Stuff we don't even think about, George, Mary, and others, that stuff you don't think of. Thank the Lord, my knees are hurting, but I still get to come to church and work and help get welcome people in. I mean, just, it's amazing. Relying on friends and reap the benefits of God. And I'll say this, we'll be done this morning. But we also have to rest in our Savior. Look at verse number 6 here of this passage of Scripture. It says, Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Miser. Doesn't matter what we're struggling with, God's got it. It's remembering the good times of when we were saved. We prayed for a miracle and God worked it. Remember the times that we went through that dark storm and God was there with us. We remember the time when a storm was in someone else's life and God was with them. God is with us, congregation. He loves us and wants us to be fulfilled and satisfied. God wants our lives truly to be awesome in every way. It's not to say that God is just up there and He wants us to go through all these trials and tribulations and just be miserable. No, sometimes God allows you and I to go through a storm to keep them. Or maybe sometimes we don't even understand the storm. And I remember crying out and I remember getting down on my knees. And I remember, Brother Titus, you were there. And I think, Ben, you were there. But Stephen, you were there. And Pastor Blake was there. Pastor Dan, you were there. You remember getting down on our knees and crying out for God to spare Jeremy's life. And I remember the tears that were shed. I remember sitting there and just for the next month and a half, Carrie and I talking about the day that he is going to walk in those back doors. And man, I just couldn't wait. And I would look back now and I remember, and man, it's a storm. And I'm not even, I'm just the pastor of this family, this incredible, wonderful family that now is dad's not there and the husband's not there. We begin to scratch our heads. God, what are you doing? But friend, I'll be honest today. Well, I fully did not comprehend 10 teenagers coming to accept Jesus Christ. as their personal Savior, hearing about their friend's dad going to heaven. At times, you and I are going to go through a dark storm, and during that storm, we can either cling to Jesus and come out on the other end better, or we can go through a storm and, oh, woe is me, and negative, and come out bitter. Friend, I just be honest, you and I ought to come out the other side better, knowing that Christ is going to bring us through. Christ is going to be there with us. He's going to guide and direct and carry us at times, and it's tough, and the tears are shed, and sometimes we scratch our heads, and sometimes we get discouraged. But friend, don't let our hearts get discouraged. This world is not where we're staying. This world is not our home. This world is not where you and I are going to be for the next 100 years. No, friend, heaven is coming. May we rely on our Savior. Hey, it's okay. I get it. We get tired. We get stressed out. We watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or ABC or CBS or whatever it is you watch. And man, we get down. And, oh, this thing. Oh, this thing. Oh, this is spiking. Oh, this thing. Oh, they got elected. Friend, let's just put it all to the side for just a moment. Jesus Christ is still seated at the right hand of God. It's a wicked world. Well, it's just crazy out. And it says, let's just be reminded, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's be reminded today, that grave where they buried him is still empty. He conquered death and he lives today. The seasons of life sometimes can be tough. Nature, we don't always like every season. Complain about the humidity, or we don't like the snow, or we don't like the weeds in the spring, or all the leaves we complain. Sometimes nature brings us through some difficult seasons, but there are also some beautiful seasons. I don't know which of you are going through a difficult season right now, but I want to encourage you. He's got you. He's carrying you. Look to Him. Rely on Him. Stay close to Him. Don't take your eyes off Him. The storm may be big, but He's bigger. The seasons of life, we may need some Georges in our life. We may need to get in church to reap. But we also have a Savior that's going to be there for us.